welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. My name is Jason Logan. I'm the Cover Senior Industry Analyst. That guy right there is professional bettor, former odds maker. You've kind of done it all, everything in the sports betting business. That is Mr. Todd Furman, and this is the NFL Divisional Round. And for the next 10 minutes, we are going to break down the four big matchups. We're going to give you our touchdown bets. We're going to run them two-minute drill, where we always give our favorite bets of the week. And we're going to cram it all into 10 minutes of high-protein, low-fat sports betting goodness. Todd, divisional... Okay, two things. Divisional round to me. It falls a little flat. This is to me, is the best part of the postseason. You know, four games, your quality, your quantity kind of meets up, but it's the divisional round. Like, it's a leftover title from a days of yore. Doesn't really match up with what the postseason kind of match is now. But like, you have like wild card weekend, super wild card weekend, and championship Sunday, and of course Super Bowl. Like, I feel like divisional round needs a rebrand. I feel like this is kind of a dud of a title.
So you're telling me when you go into the local deli and you order your sandwich, you're more excited to figure out if you want sourdough, wheat, rye, ciabatta before you just make the meat you're putting in the middle a complete afterthought, that you don't care if it's roasted turkey, you don't care if it's roast beef. You're excited about the wild card at the top, and then you're excited about championship weekend at the bottom. But to your point, J-Lo, I mean, look, of the six games we saw last weekend, four of those could go down as some of the most exciting, entertaining football games you could possibly imagine. I'd like to soon as much forget the Chargers-Patriots game. And then, of course, on Monday night, the Steelers did what the Steelers always do, and plenty of coaching changes that I'm sure we get to when we have a little bit more time next week. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, four games this weekend, two teams that coming off the bye, both playing on Saturday. Yeah. And we'll see if we can get some must-see TV, a level of intrigue. The one thing that I will admit that I'm excited about is seven of these quarterbacks, they don't have a Lombardi trophy on their resume. Yeah. Only one being Matthew Stafford. So we may see a little bit of fresh blood vying to get to Santa Clara.
A little something different is nice. It's not always just Patrick Mahomes and the taking on the Eagles out there. Because quarterfinals, the qualifying round, those kind of feel like duds. Is grade eight, is that trademarked by Ovechkin now? Can we not, like, does that, that sounds good? You can't use Elite Eight, obviously.
But. Yeah, you can't use Elite Eight. I think grade eight is there, so we're going to have to figure out a lot of this. You and I have to put our heads together and get it trademarked both in Canadian courts and in the States as well, so you and I can reap the royalties, much like Pat Riley has done for years for 3P.
That's double the work for me, because I have to do it in both official languages, and my French is spotty at best. Second thing I want to talk about, Todd, and this is whether it's week one or wildcard weekend or whenever, there's always a lot of discourse about, like, what are the sharps on? What is the public side? And we hear more and more as more eyeballs come into sports betting here during the playoffs. For me, honestly, and I am someone who does track the success, at least when it comes to our covers consensus of the most popular picks. Like, for me, at this stage in my capping career, I'm pretty solid in my convictions. I really don't give a shit who the sharps are on or who the public is on. Like, I have my wagers. I'm confident in the way I got there. But does it matter? Why or why not? And then how does that change in the postseason?
So, yes, it matters, but not for a lot of the reasons that our viewers are going to think. It matters because you want to figure out how to be able to time your market entry. Mm-hmm. And the perfect illustration of that is what we saw transpire in the Eagles and 49ers game. Yes, the 49ers end up winning outright, but you saw a ton of professional support from the moment that game opened with Philadelphia -3 all the way till it ballooned out to -6 before Lane Johnson gets ruled out and you see a little bit of buyback on the 49ers. I know people go, why does that matter if I didn't get the best of it? Because you would have felt a heck of a lot differently if Philadelphia had won that game by 3, 4, or 5 and you didn't find yourself entering at the optimal time. But this time of year, more so in the regular season, look, you have a lot more public money entering the market. The public will have their say. But the biggest sides that we saw professionals take a stance on last weekend all seemed to go up in flames. Look, I was on the Packers, felt pretty good about the 21-3 lead at the half. That didn't work out. Didn't get involved in the Eagles 49ers game from a side perspective. Some of the sharpest bettors that I talked to, you know, couldn't get enough for the Pittsburgh Steelers at +3.5, +3 flat. They were even betting them at +3 minus $1.20. And you saw the Houston Texans raise its level of play. So it's a little bit of buyer beware. You do want to pay attention to the betting market and what it's telling you to make sure there's nothing that you've forgotten to factor in your handicapping. Mm-hmm. But don't blindly fade the public this time of year. Don't blindly back the professionals. And most importantly, just don't do it at the worst of the number.
Yeah. I will say, like, by the time you know what side the sharp side is, it's too late.
Yep. And look, J-Lo, perfect example, not even just sides and totals. Look at the player prop market and how much more efficient that's gotten. Yeah. I mean, Blake Corum, depending on where you bet his rushing yards for the week, depending on how you came down on Kamani Vidal, that took a lot of money on game day, starting at 25.5, closing at 32.5. Depending on these prop markets, and I think people fall in love with looking at the raw numbers, but look more at the percentage change. Like, if you're betting quarterback passing yards from 208 to 216, an 8-yard move is inconsequential in the grand scheme of things compared to the over-under for receiving yards or rushing yards if a player is going from 25.5 to 31.5, where it's a 20% change. So keep that in mind when you're doing your handicapping. Is it going to happen all the time? Absolutely not. But you're definitely going to remember those 1 to 2 opportunities where you didn't get the best of it. You chased the number. And with live in-game prop betting that's available, you can always give yourself another opportunity to enter the market.
Yeah. All right. That was a lot to cram in. That was like 10 minutes right there. So this is the sharp 1200 today. Before we do start the actual clock here, we want to remind you, please rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast on whatever platform you choose to listen to us on. I know of Apple and Spotify. Are there other podcast platforms out there? I think there's a few other ones too. So if you're listening to us on those, good for you. And then like and subscribe on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube each week, let us know. Do you care about sharp money? Do you care about public money? What would you name the divisional round? Elite Eight? You can't. Okay. All right, let's go. Elite Eight, sharp seconds, sir. 600 seconds on the clock. Let's go. All right, we're going to go game by game, divisional round. We're going to start Buffalo at the Denver Broncos. This one interesting. Right now we're seeing Broncos minus one, total at 45.5, 46. Todd, what do you think?
Yeah, and the totals come down a touch, Jayla. You could add some 47. I think that made a world of sense, knowing that Buffalo's best path in this game is going to be playing keep away, mainly because if you look at the receiving room, have another day, there's going to be another injury. Tyrell Shavers, add him to the season-ending list, torn ACL. He joins Joshua Palmer. We know Dalton Kincaid is banged up. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who Josh Allen leans into. And in my opinion, be careful betting some of these receivers under, because by default, someone is going to have to catch the football when the Bills elect to pass. And I think James Cooks can be that guy. I think he has a productive day on the ground, but I think the rushing number is priced accordingly at 76.5. I'll look to go over 2.5 receptions for him in this game. I think he can be a player to catch balls on checkdowns. And in a game that I think is a little bit more defensive-minded, those running back checkdowns can add a ton of value in this particular contest.
Yeah, and you just want to get the ball in the hands of your best player by any means necessary, and that definitely could line up. I'm going Bo Nix under passing yards, 214.5, minus 110 at Bet365. I think Denver goes after the suspect Bills run stop, and in turn, that just limits what Nix is going to do. But when he does throw, he's not a guy that throws past the sticks that much. You look at his air yards metric, he's usually around the bottom of the league in terms of qualified QBs and air yards. The Broncos, all about the yak. They're all about the yards after the catch. And one thing that Buffalo is very good at, they're very good at protecting against the pass, but they're very good at limiting the yards after the catch. Extremely good tackling team. I don't think they allow for those bonus yards. I like Bo Nix under 214.5 in terms of his passing yards. Let's go into San Francisco. This one ran up real quick. We're sitting here 7.5. The total went the other way. I got a great price. I went under, I think I had under 47.5, under 46.5. Can't remember. Now we're sitting as low as like 44.5, 45s out there.
And can't argue going under 47.5, knowing 47 is the key. I do think at 44.5, we've won a bit too far, knowing that just 2 weeks ago, J-Lo, this was a total that opened 50.5, closed 48.5, and now you get a little bit healthier for the 49ers on the offensive line with Trent Williams, albeit no George Kittle. We'll see about Ricky Pearsall's availability. The one thing that I don't believe changes is the 49ers' inability to run the football consistently against the Seahawks' defensive front. I know they've adjusted CMC down about 10 yards, but I still think 55.5 is too big a mountain for him to try and climb. In a negative game state and hostile territory, CMC adds value as a receiver more than as a runner. 16.5, a lot of rushing attempts. He may get there, but I don't think he gets to his rushing total. I'm going under 55.5.
All right, I'm going to look at the Seahawks offense. I'm going to go Jaxon Smith-Njigba over 6.5 receptions. I bet this one yesterday was minus 105. I was like, oh, we're going to talk about it on the pod today. Minus 125. I still think this is priced too low. He had 6 catches on 8 targets against San Francisco in Week 18. It was a game in which the Seahawks ran a lot more than they usually do, 58% of their offensive snaps. This is an offense that generally is pretty split, below 50% in terms of the run rate. I don't think running the ball is going to be that easy this time around. And Sam Darnold, when he, the going gets tough, he's going to lean to his guy. JSN has recorded 7 or more grabs in 4 straight games before week 18. He's gone over 6.5 receptions in 12 of his 17 games overall. And he's the second best wide receiver versus zone out there. And that's what he's going to see from the San Francisco defense. So I like JSN to go over 6.5 receptions. We jump over to Sunday. And this could be another 16-3, 13-3 kind of game. Houston Texans, New England Patriots. Well, how's this one shaking out?
We can only hope that's the case. More on this game and the two-minute drill towards the latter portion of the program. Mm-hmm. But in terms of how I see this game unfolding, look, we're going to work under the expectation that Nico Collins will be out for the Houston Texans offensively. Mm-hmm. Carted off the field, dealing with feels like his 14th concussion of the season. Christian Gonzalez, a little bit more touch and go on the New England side. He didn't finish their game against the Chargers, their top cover corner. But the one thing that I think you can count on in this spot, J-Lo, is Drake May using his legs to try and negate some of that Houston Texans pass rush. They don't blitz a ton, but they are able to get pressure off the edge. If they don't contain Drake May and stick to their run lane integrity, I think May is going to take off from the pocket. I haven't decided if I want to go over his yardage or his attempts, mm-hmm. so no official bet for me here, but Drake May's legs are going to play a big role in how the Patriots attack that Houston Texans defense.
Yeah, and hey, kneel downs, they are a favorite. Kneel downs count. Sam Darnold had like eight kneel downs at the end of that week 18 game. I went Houston under their team total of 19.5. The 30-point effort in the wildcard round, of course, a little blown out of proportion because they scored two defensive touchdowns. But even before that, the passing game didn't look great for about three quarters until the Steelers kind of buckled in that fourth quarter frame. Patriots' pass defense is very, very good. They don't allow a lot of explosive plays. And their run defense, they got a lot of guys back from this run defense. Stroud's outdoors again. His stats tend to take a dip. And then you mentioned Nico Collins on the concussion on the short week. Houston averaged less than 20 points on the road this season. I don't think they get there in this one under 19.5. Let's go last one. Rams and Bears. It looks like it's going to be a chilly one. How are we sizing this one up?
Honestly, I'm surprised to see this total take as much under money. I know the old school thought process, hey, when it's freezing cold temperatures, it takes offenses a lot more to get going. But from 51 down to 48 for two defenses that leave more than a little bit to be desired, mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure we haven't run too far, but I'm not going to get involved there. What I want to watch from a player prop market is that Rams backfield. We saw pretty much an even split between Blake Corum and Kyren Williams, and odds makers are starting to price those more effectively. I think in a high leverage spot, I know both these guys hail from cold weather college climates. You could see Sean McVay leaning into Kyren Williams a bit more. Haven't gotten there yet, but I'm much closer to going over 61.5 rushing yards with him mm-hmm. than I am Blake Corum, who's now being priced up to 47.5.
All right, I'm going to go to the ghosts of Green Bay Packers past, and he could haunt. Not afraid of the cold weather. Could haunt the Bears here. I'm going to Devontae Adams, over 58.5 receiving yards, -110 at Bet365. I will say, if you like this prop, check your options. Check your options. But Adams returned from injury in the wild card round. He had 13 targets, just 5 receptions against Carolina. 72 yards, though. Faced a lot of zone in that game. He's going to face more one-on-one, man-on-man here from Chicago. And we know Puka Nacua is the best guy, best receiver, basically, against any coverage. But Adams, very, very good against man as well, too. And Nacua, the ultimate yak guy. Adams more of an air yards guy. Chicago has done well to limit the yak this year. They're a pretty sound tackling team, but they have given up the third most air yards, and I think Devontae can strike for some big ones. Projections for him all north of 60 as well, too. So I like him to go over 58.5 receiving yards, -110 at Bet365. It's anytime touchdown bets. Odds provided by Bet365. Tight end touchdowns in the Sharp 600, a tradition unlike any other. So going with Dawson Knox, +400, anytime touchdown. This receiving core banged up for the Bills, including Kincaid, who has two injuries. Count him, two injuries. But Knox, not a stranger to the postseason stage as well, too. He's come up big for the Bills in the tournament. And then on Sunday, I'm going Stevenson, Ramondre Stevenson, +170 to score for the Pats. He's back to the top of this rushing attack, was very involved in that wild card game, and the yards are hard against Houston. No one goes as hard on the Pats as Ramondre Stevenson.
You know, tight ends may be the tradition around here, J-Lo, but I'm going to show some love to the quarterback position, and I'm going to give you a pair of guys priced right around 3-1 or greater. We'll start on Saturday with Bo Nix of the Denver Broncos. Okay. Look, Sean Payton doesn't trust his quarterback to throw into tight windows. They don't have a battering ram to run the ball and goal to go, so what better way than to get Bo Nix outside the pocket and let him use his legs? I'll take Bo Nix. And on Sunday, give me Drake May to elude that tenacious pass rush from the Texans and find pay dirt, or give it to Ramondre. That way, one of us can get to the window.
2 minutes real time, odds provided by Bet365. These are our best bets for the divisional round. I'll go first, going Josh Allen over 19.5 completions, minus 115. I bet this market last week. I like it again here. He threw the ball 35 times, 28 completions, pretty much had this bet in the bag by halftime. But it was a lot of quick hits, a lot of quick screens. Jacksonville sold out on stopping the run. I think Vance Joseph does the same thing here. Looks to contain Cook, looks to contain Allen's legs, stacks the box, and he has to make some quick and simple throws. So I like his over 19.5 yards, completions.
14 catches for James Cook. Sounds about right for me. I'm going to handicap that game. I'm going to look at the other AFC matchup, and you made a case for the Houston Texans team total under. I'm going to go to the first half total under. Mm-hmm. I know it's been bet down a touch from 20.5 to 20. 20 would be my rock bottom pricing. I think both these teams, a defensive-minded mentality on the sidelines. Quarterbacks that, yes, you trust Drake May a little bit more than C.J. Stroud, but two teams that can run the ball, mm-hmm. they can provide pressure defensively. And look, as long as we don't get those costly turnovers in the shadow of our own goalpost, I think both these teams are going to find it hard to put together long, sustained drives under the first half total of 20 between the Texans and Pats.
All right, derivatives, the flavor of the day here in the division round. I'm going Los Angeles Rams over 13.5. First half team total, minus 115. What do we know about the Bears? They fall behind quick. They've actually given up 12.5 first half points on the season. It's been real ugly in the first halves here recently. What do we know about the Rams? McVay can script the hell out of an opening drive, and they put up a ton of points, more than 15 first half points per game on the season. This has the potential for a shootout if there was any shootouts this weekend. I think it starts early. Rams 12-7 over under with their team totals in the first half. I like them to go over again.
A little bit of synergy here because I'm going to take the Rams in the first half. I'm going to lay the 2.5 for official grading purposes. My real preference, though, is to lay $1.70 or cheaper on the money line. Just don't want to encourage some of our viewers to lay that chalky a price tag. Mm-hmm. I made the mistake last week, J-Lo. I bet the Green Bay Packers full game. I felt extremely confident at 21-3 and realized it is the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams who are never dead ever. I'm going to take that out of the equation. The Rams get off to a quick start in frigid temperatures. Lay the 2.5 and get in and out. 14 points at the break, we win twice.
Yeah, and then the chaos can ensue in the second half, and my Chicago plus four bet can come in and cash. Hey, ding. That was pretty good. I think we finished like very, very close to time for the first time all year. It only took us, 19 weeks to get this thing figured out.
You play your best football when the games matter most, J-Lo.
That's right.
There's no reason to empty the chamber week 8. You can't win a Super Bowl in October.
That's right. Like my man Shaq said, I hit him when they count. So a big thanks to Chris behind the scenes, making us look really good. Thank you, Todd, for joining us once again. Big thanks to Bet365 for providing all the odds goodness. And thank you for tuning in once again here for the divisional round and throughout the entire year. We ask that if you got a second, please rate and review the podcast or like and subscribe on YouTube. We appreciate that feedback. Helps us generate some buzz. And also, too, keep the feedback coming, whether it is in those channels or on Twitter. We love watching your success as well. Sharing how you take our bets, how you use them. We've been doing pretty great work here this season, especially I find in the last 2 months, we've done some really great bets. So keep it coming. Keep talking to us, the good and the bad. So if we suck, let us know. If it's great, keep pumping us up. But we love that feedback. Todd, I had to touch on it. Mike Tomlin in a touchy situation for your household. The greatest underdog coach in the history of the NFL, 60% ATS winner as an underdog, guy that writes an underdogs column each week. Mike Tomlin was my guy. He will be dearly missed. Who will be the Steelers' next head coach? That's a big, big question.
Look, every relationship, they say, eventually runs its course. And in the wake of that 30-6 loss on Monday night, it felt like they were headed for a divorce. You give Mike Tomlin credit. He realized it was time to pursue other opportunities, whether they be in media or elsewhere. It looks like Tomlin is going to sit out of this coaching cycle
and
probably have a chance to throw his hat in the ring next year. Let's see exactly what media network he ends up a part of, because it'd be great to get some of his Tomlinisms and everything else that we've grown accustomed to, albeit in a media setting. But you look at the Steelers, and the reality of it is this is an franchise that has always been predicated on a blue-collar mentality and defense first. Do I think that's the best way to go about this coaching search when you're most likely going to have to draft a young quarterback and bring him along slowly? No. Will that stop the Steelers? Absolutely not. So I think if you're looking at some of the names that are out there, I'll throw out three, and I'm not basically pulling from a hat for names that haven't been attached to it. Chris Shula, in my opinion, I want to see a little bit more. I'm not sure he's ready to take on this kind of job just yet. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores, I know he's got a couple of suits pending against the league, but that's how good a coach this guy is, that you can be suing your potential employer in some of the franchises and still have your name attached to some of the jobs But I'm not sure that Brian Flores is the guy. The person that I would look at would be the defensive coordinator in Los Angeles, Jesse Minter. He's got a familiarity with the Midwest. We've seen what he's been able to do. And defensive coordinators that have come out of that Harbaugh tree in one capacity or another, Mike McDonald has reaped the benefits in Seattle. And I think he is the perfect fit in Pittsburgh, as long as he can get a good offensive coordinator, draft a quarterback. Jesse Minter would be the guy that I would look at now that Marcus Freeman has kind of removed his name from the search.
All right. And I looked at Minter as well, too, as a possible fit. And as you mentioned, his time, he's been in that AFC North with the Ravens, correct? Yeah.
He spent some time in Michigan. Yeah, I want to say he was part of the Ravens staff. All these guys seem to blend together. Yeah. Do I think any of these guys that were a slam dunk like Ben Johnson? I don't. But the Steelers have been the model franchise. Look, how many teams around the league, J-Lo, can say they've won more Super Bowls than they've had head coaches? I mean, the Steelers have six Super Bowls, and this is going to be their fourth head coach. Credit to the Rooney family. I know Steelers fans want a little bit more, but they have been the model of stability, and I think that's the kind of thing that gets rewarded over the long haul.
All right. We will be back next week for Championship Sunday. A great name, better than divisional round. And if you're wondering about what we're doing Super Bowl schedule-wise, we're going to have two. Count them, two. Podcast. We're going to have one.
Give me two, Utah. Two.
Two. Give me two, Utah. Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Yeah. There's a callback. But anyway, Super Bowl podcast. The first, we're going to do one on the bye week. We're going to look at the immediate lines movement. We're going to get a little fun and silly, as we like to do sometimes, with some of the funner Super Bowl props. Any bets that we need to get in early in that week, we're going to tell you about them. And then we're going to be very game focused that second week, heading into Super Bowl weekend. So a lot of stuff coming at you here on the Sharp 600, so keep an eye out for that. Until all of that, best of luck with your divisional round bets.